This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. أما بعد, we begin by thanking and praising Allah, and we beseech Him to shower Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with salutations and compliments. We are in the chapter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dealings مع الأغنياء, with those of wealth and money. And so we mentioned last that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we talked about sadaqah, how some of the aghniya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed them to give all of their wealth, if not all of it, or much of it, in sadaqah, and others he did not. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually taught them to give a certain portion of their wealth in sadaqah, and we mentioned the distinction between the two. The next section, وَكَانَ يُرْشِدُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُظْهِرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. The Prophet ﷺ instructed people of wealth to use the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with in how they carry themselves, the way they look. So, first of all, this is an aspect of gratitude. It's an aspect of shukr, shukrun ni'mah. To use it in a way that is permissible, and to use it in a way that allows you to be presentable and honorable and clean, this is part of being grateful. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Proclaim the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. عن مالك بن نضلة رضي الله عنه قال رآني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلي أطمار فقال هل لك مال؟ قلت نعم. قال من أي المال؟ قلت من كل المال قد أتاني الله عز وجل من الإبل والرقيق والخيل والغنم. قال إذا أتاك الله مالا فليرى عليك, وفي رواية فلترى نعم الله وكرامته عليك. This Sahabi, he says the Prophet ﷺ saw me one day and I was wearing really raggedy clothes, rundown clothing. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, what kind of assets, what kind of wealth do you have? And so he said, I have from all the different types of wealth you can imagine Allah has blessed me with. So he started counting for the Prophet ﷺ. I have this many camels and this many cows, this many sheep, this many horses. That's like in today's language, if you say somebody, what are your assets? He says, well, I have a house and I have two rental properties and a boat and an RV and three jet skis. Like that, he's listing out his assets. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if Allah has given you wealth, then Allah should see the output and the benefit of that wealth upon you. In another narration, so it should be observed the blessings of Allah and the way Allah has honored you with this wealth. So to wear something presentable, clean, dignified, carry yourself in an honorable way. عن عمر بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله يحب أن يرى أثر نعمته على عبده. This hadith is recorded in At-Tirmidhi and the scholar said it is sound. And this hadith is interesting because the chain of narration is Amr ibn Shu'aib, who heard from his father, who heard from his father. So, son to father to grandfather in the chain of narration, which is nice. He says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah loves to see the effect of his ni'mah on his servants. So, hoarding wealth and just stashing it away for the purpose of just accumulating it, you know, some people are like that. It's like, well, what are you doing with this wealth? Nothing. So what is it doing? Just leave it there. Right? That's not, and on top of that, the person is not presentable. So if a person is looking raggedy and they are faqir, miskeen, do we blame them? They don't have anything. That's the best that they got. But imagine somebody has the opportunity to carry themselves presentably and they don't. They're being stingy with themselves. So, yani that's, you know. طيب, how do we balance this? Somebody might come and say, well, I'm going to be very flashy and I'm just going to, you're really going to know how much I got when you see me walking down the street. And they say, well, the Prophet ﷺ said, hadith. Well, how do we measure that? Where is the line? Huh? Ibadur Rahman? What about them? Jameel. Jameel Jiddan says from Surah Al-Furqan. Her brother says, Allah described Ibadur Rahman, the servants of the Most Merciful, like a lofty status. When they spend, they don't waste, but they also don't pinch and are stingy and hold back. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They're balanced. طيب, check out this hadith. عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, such an individual will not enter Jannah. What individual? The one who has the tiniest little bit of weight of arrogance in their heart. لا يدخل الجنة. تفضل. لا أدري. لم أقف على هذا الأثر من قبل. الله أعلم. لا أدري لكن في النفس منها شيء. طيب, so the Prophet ﷺ said, this person will not enter Jannah. That's pretty intense, huh? طيب, قال رجل, so somebody is sitting there, he has a question. One of the Sahaba stands up. He said, O Messenger of Allah, إن الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسنا ونعله حسنا. He said, but O Messenger of Allah, hold on. The average Joe, the average guy like me, he loves to have their clothing beautiful and look nice, and their shoes and their kicks look nice. صح? The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ الْكِبْرُ بَطُرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the conclusion of this hadith, which is recorded in Muslim, so authentic, the Prophet said, so the guy is saying, let's look at it, one step at a time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have a tiny bit of arrogance in your heart, you're not getting into Jannah. So the guy is like, but we all want to look good. We want to look good, we want to look fresh. The Prophet said, Allah is beautiful, He loves beauty. Arrogance is to prevent truth and despise people. To block the truth, to cover the truth, and to despise other people. That's arrogance. Looking beautiful is not arrogance. But what happens if somebody uses their looks to despise others? Then it becomes arrogance. Do you see the distinction? You don't see it? You see it? إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ وَكَانَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يُثْنِي عَلَى أَفْعَالِ الْخَيْرِ الَّتِي يَفْعَلُونَهَا تَشْجِيعًا وَتَحْفِيزًا لَهُمْ عَلَى الزِّيَادَةِ. The next section, the Prophet ﷺ would encourage people of wealth, of money, positive reinforcement. Anytime they did something good, he would encourage them and he would push them and motivate them to do more. And encourage them to race. Do more. Come on. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أنفق زوجين في سبيل الله نودي من أبواب الجنة يا عبد الله هذا خير فمن كان من أهل الصلاة دعي من باب الصلاة ومن كان من أهل الجهاد دعي من باب الجهاد ومن كان من أهل الصيام دعي من باب الريان ومن كان من أهل الصدقة دعي من باب الصدقة فقال أبو بكر رضي الله عنه بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله ما على من دعي من تلك الأبواب من ضرورة فهل يدعى أحد من تلك الأبواب كلها؟ قال نعم وأرجو أن تكون منهم. This hadith is recorded in the book of Bukhari and Muslim and is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith recorded by Abu Huraira is mentioning the virtue of the person who gives infaq, who spends. That they will be called on the day of judgment. They will be called out and will be called specially to enter Jannah. Like an announcement made. So and so, you can enter Jannah. Then the Prophet ﷺ listed the different doors of Jannah. He said, the person who was from the people of Salah, meaning they're very diligent about Salah, that's the most prominent act of worship that they practiced, there will be a specific gate of Jannah reserved for them. Then there will be a gate for the people of Jihad, and a gate for the people of Siyam. And the Prophet said, it's called Ar-Rayyan. In this narration, it's the only one that he gave a special name to. And then he said, and the people of Sadaqah, they will have a gate for Sadaqah. So then Abu Bakr said, you know, he was so amazed to hear this. He said a statement that expresses amazement. Like, wow, this is amazing. You know, he loved the messenger for giving them this good news. Then he told the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, anybody who gets called to one of these gates, they're in a good situation. But is it possible, O Messenger of Allah, will somebody be called to enter all of them? I want you to imagine, like, a very special place. What's a very special place? Huh? Medina? Mecca? Can you think of a special place? Allahu Akbar. Have you been there? Inshallah, we go together. Imagine you get to Mecca, and imagine Mecca is like surrounded, right? And all these people are there, and there's like a wall, and there's gates to enter in. And all these people are standing, and everyone's like, we want to, what are you guys waiting for? We're waiting for the gates to open so we can go into Mecca. We want to go. We've been hearing about it all our life. What's going on in there? So one gate opens, and certain people are called by their name. So and so and so and so and so and so, here's your gate. And they go. And then another gate opens. So and so, you go to this gate, etc. Right? All the different gates. Imagine somebody is called and it says, so and so, all of the gates are open for you. You enter from whichever one you want. You see the difference? And what kind of honor that is. So Abu Bakr is like, anybody gonna have that for Jannah? So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And I am hopeful that you will be that person. You will be amongst one of those people, Abu Bakr. That the gates of Jannah, all of them are opened. And it will be said, enter from whichever one you want. Like, imagine the honor that comes with that. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أصبح منكم اليوم صائما. So do you see like how much encouragement that is from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he أرجو أن تكون منهم, I am hopeful that you will be amongst them, Abu Bakr. That's so motivating. Like, I can do that, I can achieve that, let me work towards it. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من أصبح منكم اليوم صائما. قال أبو بكر أنا. قال فمن تبع منكم اليوم جنازة. قال أبو بكر أنا. قال فمن أطعم منكم اليوم مسكينا. قال أبو بكر أنا. قال فمن عاد منكم اليوم مريضا. قال أبو بكر أنا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما اجتمعنا في امرئ إلا دخل الجنة. This hadith is recorded in the book of Muslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abu Huraira narrates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, which one of you woke up this morning fasting? So Abu Bakr said, me. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, which one of you attended and followed a janazah, a funeral procession, today? Abu Bakr said, me. The Prophet said, who fed a poor, needy person today? Abu Bakr said, me. The Prophet said, who visited someone who is sick today? Abu Bakr said, me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whenever these four events occur in the same individual, they will enter Jannah. Can we do these four things in one day? Can we? Fast, follow a janazah, give sadaqah, visit someone who is ill. All in one day. Amazing. Amazing. These four things combine ibadah, acts of worship to Allah, and acts of goodness towards others and fulfilling the rights of others in one day. What's amazing is the Prophet ﷺ is asking this question, and Abu Bakr has done all of them. This shows you that he hastened, he seized every opportunity. That's the attitude. When a good deed opportunity is presented, I'm there. I'll do it. Maybe if it was one of us and someone said, hey, there's a janazah today, we say, wallahi, alhamdulillah, al-yawm, I'm fasting. I'm a little bit tired. Alhamdulillah, I got some good ajr today. I'll go to the janazah another day. Abu Bakr fasting, janazah, oom, I'm there. Someone needs ta'am, I'm there. Someone is sick, I'll be there. يعني سباق إلى الخير ما شاء الله رضي الله عنه. وعن عبد الرحمن بن سمرة رضي الله عنه قال جاء عثمان بن عفان إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بألف دينار في ثوبه حين جهز النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جيش العسرة فصبها في حجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقلبها بيده ويقول ما ضر ابن عفان ما عمل بعد اليوم يرددها مرارا. This hadith is recorded in Tirmidhi and Ahmed, and the scholar said it is sound. Abd al-Rahman ibn Samura narrates that Uthman ibn Affan came to the Prophet ﷺ and he had 1,000 dinar. It's 1,000 gold coins. And it was like in his cloth, like in his clothes, you know? Like he was holding it like a sack. When the Prophet ﷺ was preparing and getting the army of Jaysh al-Usra ready, one of the military expeditions. And so they were preparing, and so they needed supplies, they needed wealth. And Uthman came and poof, dropped this huge amount for the sake of getting the Muslim army ready. So he poured it in the lap of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ picked it up and he was tossing it between his hands and he was repeating that Uthman is not harmed by what he did after today. Uthman is not harmed by what he will do after today. Meaning Uthman has given such a huge sadaqah. And the reward of that is vast. So much so that his sins, his poor choices, forgiven. مَا ضَرَّ Uthman. They will be forgiven. He is not going to be harmed by them. Because it was a huge sacrifice at a time of need. That's very encouraging. The Prophet ﷺ is teaching us, when someone does something good, encourage. Encourage, always, positively. Mention glad tidings, mention the reward of Allah, mention Jannah. Tahfiz, encouragement. طيب وكان يعودهم على التجارة مع الله تعالى لأنها هي التجارة الرابحة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also encouraged the Sahaba to do business. Now he encouraged them to do business in this dunya. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you are an honest, trustworthy businessman, you will be elevated up to the ranks with the prophets and the trustworthy and the truthful people on the day of judgment. On top of that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is encouraging to do business with Allah. And Allah actually in the Quran in multiple places uses this metaphor of tijara, of business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Allah said, those people that recite the book of Allah and they establish salah and they spend from that which Allah has blessed them in secret and in public, they are seeking, yarjuna, they are hopeful and they are seeking a tijara, a business transaction that will not go in loss. Tijaratan lan tabur. See, in this dunya, every business transaction has an element of risk. Right? Is there any business transaction that has zero, absolutely 100% zero risk? 100%, 0%, that doesn't really work, does it? Zero risk, is there any business transaction that has zero risk? Can you think of one? Can you think of one, Waleed? No? Oh, that's it. One of those kinds of statements right there. MashaAllah. Mic drop, Waleed. It wouldn't be called business. By definition, business, there is an opportunity to gain profit and there's an opportunity for loss. You could tell me this transaction has absolutely no risk, guaranteed return on your investment. Okay, fine. But can you guarantee me that there won't be recession and there won't be inflation and the value of that currency will drop and then I will lose? Can you guarantee me that? No, that I can't guarantee you. So every transaction has risk. Allah is saying this transaction, tijara lan tabur. Allah is guaranteeing you there is no chance of it failing. لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah says He will give them, He will pay them back full compensation and on top of that, add on top of that. إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Allah is the most forgiving and the most generous in His expression of gratitude. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله إن لفلان النخلة وأنا قيم حائطي بها فأمره أن يعطيني حتى أقيم حائطي بها. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطيها إياه بنخلة في الجنة. فأبى. فأتاه أبو الدحداح فقال بعني نخلتك بحائطي. ففعل. فأتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إني قد ابتعت النخلة بحائطي فاجعلها له فقد أعطيتكها. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كم من عذق راح لأبي الدحداح في الجنة؟ قال ها مرارا. والعذق هو الغصن من النخلة، وأما العذق فهو النخلة بكمالها. فأتى امرأته فقال يا أم الدحداح أخرجي من الحائط فإني قد بعته بنخلة في الجنة. فقالت ربح البيع. أنس بن مالك narrates in a hadith which is recorded in the book of Ahmad and the scholar said it is authentic, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was complaining. He said, O Messenger of Allah, this guy next to me, he has this one tree, okay, and it's getting in the way of the border for my garden, for my property. So tell him to, can you tell him to give it to me, because it's coming in my property line, so that I can establish my wall and my property line, everything will be fair and square. So the Prophet ﷺ said, give it to him. Give it to him, and you will have a tree in Jannah, in its place. So the man said, no. He said, no, I don't want to, it's mine. I don't want to give it up. I mean, he didn't want to. So Abu Dahdah, another companion, he heard of this. And he's like, what? This guy said no? after the Prophet said, you get a tree in Jannah. So Abu Dahdah went to that guy and he said, listen, you give me that one tree, you get my whole garden, which has many in it. So the guy is like, of course, Bismillah, go ahead. So he sold it. So Abu Dahdah came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I sold my tree for everything that's within my land. So give it to him. I'm putting you in charge of it. You can give it to that guy, settle the deal, fair and square. So the Prophet ﷺ said, how many branches of trees Abu Dahdah will have in Jannah? Meaning he's going to have his own lush collection in Jannah for that transaction. So Abu Dahdah went to his property. His wife and his family are still home. He didn't even enter the property because khalas, he sold it. He yelled from outside. He said, Ya Umm Dahdah! He called his wife. He said, get out. I have sold this property for a tree in Jannah. What would you say? And some people would say, what? You sold our property for one tree? So she said, Rabih al-Bay'. She said, profitable transaction. You've won. Profitable transaction. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يختار لأهل التجارة منهم الاسم الحسن ويحثهم على الصدقة. عن قيس بن أبي غرزة رضي الله عنه قال كنا في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نسمي السماسرة فمر بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فسمانا باسم هو أحسن منه فقال يا معشر التجار إن البيع يحضره اللغو والحلف فشوبوا بيعكم بصدقة أخلطوا أي أخلطوا. قال الخطابي السمسار أعجمي وكان كثير ممن يعالج البيع والشراء فيهم عجما فتلقوا هذا الاسم عنهم فغيره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى التجارة التي هي من الأسماء العربية شويبوا بيعكم بصدقة بين أن تجارتهم قد يقع فيها من اللغو والحلف ما يقع فقال لهم أخلطوا ما ذكر من اللغو والحلف بصدقة فإنها تطفئ غضب الرب وإن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. طيب, this hadith is recorded in the book of At-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud and Nasa'i, and the scholar said it is sahih. Qais, he says, we were at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, we had a nickname. We had this nickname that was given to us. And this nickname had a negative connotation. It was named after someone who was not from amongst those people, not from the Arab families and tribes of that time. And it was someone who used to engage in a lot of business, but perhaps did not have a very positive reputation. So they picked up this name, Simsar. So the Prophet ﷺ, he changed that name. He told them, no, have a good, beautiful name that has a good meaning, a nickname meaning for people that do business. Right? It's kind of like how, for example, here, let's give you a modern day example. So, who are some businessmen that have a very negative reputation? Okay, يعني not one individual, like an industry. Mechanics? Finance? Oil? Huh? Used car salesmen, right? They have such a bad reputation. Used car salesmen, mechanics, right? So imagine, is there a nickname? Let's say, for example, we call all used car salespeople, we call them scumbags. Khalas. So somebody comes and says, hey, what do you do for a living? Ah, I'm just a scumbag, I just sell used cars. And it becomes like the nickname. So the Prophet ﷺ came, he said, hey, right, don't have this nickname. Or for example, let's say, you know, Trump is a businessman, right? So people use his name for anybody that does his type of business. Oh, I'm just a Trumper. Right? Named after someone. It's like that. You get the idea? This is just an example. You get the idea, Waleed? Hey, mashallah. So it just, his name becomes a nickname for people that do that job. So the Prophet ﷺ comes and says, hey man, that's not good, man. Have a good, clean meaning. And then the Prophet told them this. Check this out. This is really deep and very relevant. The Prophet ﷺ said, oh business people. He said, when you're buying and selling, there is a lot of vain speech that takes place. And a lot of swearing. Right? And a lot of false promises. Right? That happens. Oh, I guarantee you the best possible product. Really? The absolute best? Yeah, and you know what I mean. Right? Wallahi, there will be nothing. I guaranteed, no problem. Wallahi, it's the cheapest one you'll find in the market. I swear by Allah, you won't find cheaper than me. You swear you won't find cheaper than me? Are you sure? Yeah, you know, you get what I mean. It's like that, right? Doesn't that stuff happen? Swear to God, you're not going to find a better deal. Swear to God, you're not going to find a better deal. I'm telling you right now. Listen, trust me. I want what's best for you. And then a lot of like empty talk in between, right? Salespeople are, you know, if you want to be good in sales, you got to... I remember one time there was a meeting with this big salesperson. 3-hour meeting. 2 hours and a half. Half an hour, the actual business deal. The whole time, just right, left, back and forth. Makes you so comfortable, you just want to sit with the guy till midnight. Then when he comes to sell you something, yeah man, whatever you got, give me. You know, we'll make the deal, sure. So that's how you win in sales, right? You got to be good at talking. So the Prophet's saying, look, when you guys are doing this, you got a lot of this vain speech, a lot of swearing, a lot of this back and forth, you know? So the Prophet is saying, clean up. Purify your transactions by giving sadaqah. Mix it in. Infuse in your transactions and in your dealings sadaqah. Why? Allah said, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds wipe away bad deeds. Make sense? Wash it out. Just always add some sadaqah. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, الصدقة تطفئ غضب الرب. Giving sadaqah, charity, it prevents the anger of Allah. We might do something, all of this vain talk, and we're doing things that anger Allah. We give some sadaqah, okay, we protect ourselves from the anger of Allah. It's like a protective shield. وَكَانَ يُخَالِطُهُمْ فِي أَسْوَاقِهِمْ فَيَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And the Prophet would mix and mingle with them in their marketplace, in their places of business and trade, and encourage them to do that which is best. And if he saw them doing something wrong, he would advise them and forbid them from it. عَنْ رِفَاعَةَ قَالَ خَرَجْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَإِذَا النَّاسُ يَتَبَايَعُونَ بِكَرَّةٍ فَنَادَاهُمْ يَا مَعْشَرَ التُّجَّارِ فلما رفعوا أبصارهم ومدوا أعناقهم قال إن التجار يبعثون يوم القيامة فجارا إلا من اتقى الله وبر وصدق. This hadith is narrated in book of Tirmidhi Ibn Majah. The scholar said it is authentic. The Prophet said, we went out with, the narrator says, we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went to the marketplace, and it's like bustling, buying and selling and bargaining and back and forth. So the Prophet yelled out in front of everyone, Ya ma'ashara tujjar, oh business people, everyone engaging in business and trade. Huh? Everybody stopped. Who's calling? And they listened and they stretched their necks to see who's talking, who's calling. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you business people, you will be resurrected on the day of judgment. Fujjar. Evil. Evil people. That's pretty serious, right? You will be resurrected on the day of judgment. Fujjaran, meaning evil. People that are sinners are fujjar, evil. Except, إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهُ وَبَرَّ وَصَدَقَ. Except for the one who is conscious of Allah and is honest and trustworthy and righteous in their dealings. They don't lie. They're conscious of Allah. They're always thinking that Allah is watching me, what I'm doing. And they are righteous in their dealings. Kind, generous, merciful. Don't insult, treat people well, are fair, You fulfill those conditions, you're good. You don't fulfill those conditions, then you will be fujjaran on the day of judgment. وَكَانَ يَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْغَشِّ فِي الْبَيْعِ وَالشِّرَاءِ. And the Prophet forbid them from cheating. Any level or type of cheating. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر على صبرة طعام فأدخل يده فيها فنالت أصابعه بللا فقال ما هذا يا صاحب الطعام؟ قال أصابته السماء أي المطر يا رسول الله. قال أفلا جعلته فوق الطعام كي يراه الناس من غش فليس مني. This hadith is recorded in the book of Muslim. It's authentic. Abu Huraira says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by someone who was selling food, and they had their food in a pile, like in a big bucket, right? Like, you know how sometimes you go to a grocery store or something and there's a particular food item and it's piled on top. It's not laid out flat. It's like stacked up. So the Prophet stopped by this pile of food, and might have been maybe a fruit, maybe a vegetable, maybe a grain, something, some type of food. And the Prophet stuck his hand inside the pile and he felt around. When he felt around there, it was wet. It was moist and squishy. So the Prophet ﷺ said, what's this? So the man said, oh, some rain fell and made some of these items wet. It's not his fault. It rained. So the Prophet ﷺ says, fine, why didn't you put that one on top so people would see? And then the Prophet said, whoever cheats is not from me. When you cheat others, you are not from those that are following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أي ليس ممن اهتدى بهدي واقتدى بعلمي وعملي وحسن طريقتي. Meaning you are not from those that follow my guidance or my knowledge or my actions or my way of doing things. And if someone is not following the way of the messenger, then whose way are they following? Shaytan. That's the only other way there is. أَفَلَا جَعَلْتُهُ فَوْقَ الطَّعَامِ. So put it on top so people can see. Be honest. You know, somebody might come and serve from it and they think they're getting the nice item on top, and on the bottom it ends up all moist and rotten. Basically, you're not getting what you signed up for, what you paid for. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صنع إليه إذا صنع إليه أحدهم معروفا كافأه عليه. عن أبي هريرة. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, anytime someone would do him a good gesture, a good favor, he would always compensate and repay the favor. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ساعة لا يخرج فيها ولا يلقاه فيها أحد فأتاه أبو بكر فقال ما جاء بك يا أبا بكر؟ قال خرجت ألقى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنظر في وجهه والتسليم عليه فلم يلبث أن جاء عمر فقال ما جاء بك يا عمر؟ قال الجوع يا رسول الله, الجوع يا رسول الله. فقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا قد وجدت بعض ذلك. فانطلقوا إلى منزل أبي الهيثم بن التيهاني الأنصاري وكان رجلا كثير النخل والشاه ولم يكن له خدم فلم يجدوه فقالوا لامرأته أين صاحبك؟ فقالت انطلق يستعذب لنا الماء. فلم يلبثوا أن جاء أبو الهيثم بقربة فوضعها ثم جاء يلتزم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويفديه بأبيه وأمه ثم انطلق بهم إلى الحديقة إلى حديقته فبسط لهم بساطا ثم انطلق إلى نخلة فجاء بقنو فوضعه فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفلا تنقيت لنا من رطبه؟ فقال يا رسول الله إني أردت أن تختاروا أو قال تخيروا من رطبه ويسره وبسره فأكلوا وشربوا من ذلك الماء. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا والذي نفسي بيده من النعيم الذي تسألون عنه يوم القيامة, ظل بارد ورطب طيب وماء بارد. فانطلق أبو الهيثم ليصنع لهم طعاما فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تذبحن ذات در. قال فذبح لهم عناقا أو فأتاهم بها فأكلوا. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هل لك خادم؟ قال لا. قال فإذا أتاني سبي فأتنا. فأتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برأسين ليس معهما ثالث فأتاه أبو الهيثم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اختر منهما. فقال يا نبي الله اختر لي. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المستشار مؤتمن خذ هذا فإني رأيته يصلي واستوصي به معروفا. فانطلق أبو الهيثم إلى امرأته فأخبرها يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقالت امرأته ما أنت ببالغ ما قال فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا أن تعتقه. قال فهو عتيق. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لم يبعث نبيا ولا خليفة إلا وله بطانتان، بطانة تأمره بالمعروف وتنهى عن المنكر، وبطانة لا تألوه خبالا، ومن يوق بطانة السوء فقد أوقيا. Beautiful hadith which is recorded in the book of At-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Huraira says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went out in the day when most people are not out and about, until he bumped into Abu Bakr. So he said, Abu Bakr, what are you doing? Everybody is usually not out. They're usually sleeping or at home or resting or taking shelter at this time. Why are you out and about? So Abu Huraira says, I wanted to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and look into his face and give salam. So they walked until they met Umar. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar, what are you doing out here? He said, I'm hungry. I'm looking for something to eat. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know what? I'm kind of hungry too. Let's go. So they went to the house of Abu al-Haytham, who was one of the men from Al-Ansar. And he had a lot of palm trees and animals. He had a big property. So they were expecting him to have something. So, and he had no servants or workers. It was just him and his wife working that land. So they found his wife there. They said, where is your husband? She said, he's not here. He went to go get us some fresh water from a stream or a well or something. Or maybe a place where rainwater gathered. So they waited for him until he came. So when he came, he presented, you know, a container to them with that fresh water, and then he took them to his garden and he put down something for them to sit on under the shade, and they sat down, and then he went and he climbed one of his trees and he brought a whole branch from the tree, and he brought it, he put the whole branch in front of them. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, why didn't you just pick one of the ripe fruits for us? He said, I wanted to bring you the whole branch so you can choose whichever ones you like and you can pick it for yourself. I'll bring the branch to you. Like major hospitality, kindness, you know? So, they ate and they drank and they relaxed. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the na'im, the blessings that you will be asked about. You know, in Surah Al-Takathur, Al-Hakum Al-Takathur, Allah concludes that chapter by saying, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then definitely, for sure, you can absolutely be positive about it. On that day, you will be asked about the blessings that you enjoyed. So, the Prophet ﷺ said, nice cool shade and soft, sweet fruit and cold water. This is the best. You will be asked about this. So then he got up and he went to go make them the actual main course. Like he's going to make them real food. He's going to find one of his animals, slaughter one of the sheep, and then prepare like a full meal for them. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't slaughter one of your good animals. Meaning don't, because he knows the man is really kind and generous. He's like, don't slaughter one of the good animals that, you know, is going to have milk and give, you know, take one that's not, the other animals or babies are not depending on it. So he slaughtered one of the other animals and he prepared the food. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do you have any workers or servants or anyone to help you manage all of these animals and all of these this farming? He said, no, it's a solo, we just work, you know. So the Prophet ﷺ said, well, when I get some helping hands, some servants that need to be allocated, I will let you know and then you can get some help. So eventually such did take place. And the Prophet ﷺ had two people that were available for that position. So he called Abu al-Haytham, he said, these two are available, pick whichever one you want to pick to help you and work on your land and your property with you. So the man said, you know what, you choose for me, O Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْمُسْتَشَارَ مُؤْتَمَنَ. The Prophet said, well, this is important. The one whose counsel is sought, this is someone who is entrusted. Somebody comes and says, hey, I want to ask you for advice. Don't just, oh yeah, I think you should do this. You got to take it seriously. Al-mustashar mu'taman. This is like, becomes a matter of trust. I remember one time I was sitting with one of my teachers and he was sitting like this, relaxing. And I was sitting right here. So it was late at night. And then I told him, Sheikh, I want to ask you for some advice on an issue. So he went like this. I was like, whoa, it's not that serious, it's okay. But he took it very seriously. And it was an important matter, but it wasn't like a big deal. But he was like, And he thought very seriously about it. I was like, whoa, it's taken really seriously. So al-mustashar mu'taman, the Prophet ﷺ said, I think you should choose that one. Why? He says, the Prophet said, I saw him praying. And he looked good in his salah. So take that one and take good care of him. I am instructing you and recommending to you that you treat him with the utmost kindness and generosity. استوصي به معروفا. So the man said, you got it. فانطلق. So he took this new assistant, this new laborer, worker that he has, and they went back to his property. And so the man came to his wife. And he said, this and this happened. And I asked the Prophet, and he said, this one, and he told me this. And so we have to be really good to our new helper. So she said, the only way you will really fulfill what the Prophet advised you to do with regards to being kind, you've got to let this person, relieve them of their duties. Let them go free, relieve them of their duties, and let them go about their way. So the man said, okay, you got it. So he told the guy, you are relieved of this job that has been assigned to you by the Prophet ﷺ, because he had been put in charge. He said, you are relieved, you can go do whatever you please. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard about this, he said that whenever Allah sends a prophet or a messenger, or even anyone who is placed in some authority, they will always have two spheres of influence that are attempting to influence this person. Nabi, Khalifa, anyone that's in a position of authority. One sphere of influence that's going to constantly remind them and encourage them to do good and stay away from what is harmful. And another one that is not concerned about what is beneficial or praiseworthy at all. Just concerned about their own profit and their own benefit. So the Prophet said, whoever is protected and stays away from that negative sphere of influence, then they are safe. Look how this wife was such a positive influence in her recommendation to Abu al-Haytham al-Ansari. So the idea is always take advice from those that will have a positive influence, that are concerned about you making the best choices. How is this related to our topic? Well, you see, after all of the kindness and the hospitality that this man showed the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr and Umar, the Prophet ﷺ said, I will arrange for you to have some help and some support in your property and in your work when that becomes available to me. وَكَانَ يَدْعُوا لَهُمْ بِالْبَرَكَةِ. And the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua for them to have barakah. Barakah means an increase in output. Barakah does not necessarily mean an increase in quantity, but it's an increase in what you are able to do. So there could be $10 that has more barakah than $100, because you are able to accomplish with those 10 so much. And that 100, it's gone. Where did it go? Well, it's as if it wasn't even here. I don't know where it went. It just came in and it was spent right away. Also, barakah in time. They said, the most successful human on earth and the biggest failure on earth, they have one thing in common. 24 hours. But one person can achieve so much in that same amount of time. Another person doesn't achieve anything. It's the same amount of time. Do you have more time in the day to accomplish more? La wallah. It's the same sun, it's the same moon, it's the same time. But this person has increased output. Right? Somebody can have a very short lifespan, But they accomplish so much. And some people live for decades and they accomplish so little. Imam An-Nawawi, he passed away at a very young age. And look, you go to any library, volumes of books. And you look at all of this output, you say, man, this guy must have lived to be 120 years old, writing every day. No, he didn't even hit 50. How old was Imam An-Nawawi when he passed away? Early 40s or early 30s? Ya'ni, young. Barakah. To achieve more, to do more. So the Prophet would make dua. فقد دعا لعبد الرحمن بن عوف بالبركة في ماله عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى على عبد الرحمن بن عوف أثر صفرة فقال ما هذا؟ قال إني تزوجت امرأة على وزن نواة من ذهب. قال بارك الله لك أولم ولو بشه. عبد الرحمن بن عوف, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw him and he saw that he had I don't want to call it makeup, but it's some type of cosmetic. And the Prophet said, what's this? What's going on? He said, oh, I got married and this was my mahar and I paid this much in gold. It's like, whoa, just the other day you didn't have any money. The Prophet made dua for him. He said, Barakallahu lak, may Allah increase you in barakah and in output. And the Prophet said, do a walima, have a gathering and feed people. Walau bisha, even if it's just one sheep. The Prophet made dua for another companion. Allahumma barik lahu fi safqatihi bi yaminih. The Prophet ﷺ said, oh, may Allah give barakah and increase the blessing and the output of what he is able to accomplish and do with his hand. So the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua for them. So when you see someone that has wealth, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in dealing with this person is to make dua for Allah to increase them in barakah. Sometimes people will see someone with some wealth and they will criticize that. Oh, look at you. You know, pull out the pin and throw the shame grenade. Someone buys a new car. Oh, mashallah. You could have given sadaqah. How much is that car? 20,000? You could have bought a car for 10,000, given 10,000 in sadaqah. Yeah. That's not how the Prophet ﷺ responded. Barakallahu lak. May Allah increase you in beneficial output of what you have. May you achieve more positive and accomplish better. That's the right attitude. The other behavior, the other attitude is from shaitan. And it allows hasad and envy and jealousy to fester. And that's not healthy. That ruins relationships, that kills the hearts, and that blocks someone from entering Jannah. وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدْعُو لِلْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُزَكِّينَ مِنْهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua for them when they give sadaqah. عن عبد الله بن أبي أوفى رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتاه قوم بصدقتهم قال اللهم صل على آل فلان. فأتاه أبي بصدقته فقال اللهم صل على آل أبي أوفى. رواه البخاري ومسلم. Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, he says, the Prophet ﷺ, whenever people would come to him giving sadaqah, say, oh Messenger of Allah, this is sadaqah, please distribute it and spread it amongst the poor and the needy. The Prophet ﷺ would say, Allahumma salli ala ali fulan. Allahumma salli on their family. And the salat of Allah is protection and mercy. When you have salat of Allah, that's protection and mercy. Like when you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. When you send salutations and compliments in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. The salat of Allah is His protection, His rahmah. And the salat of the malaika is dua for maghfira and rahmah. And our salah is salutation, is praise, and it's requesting Allah to protect and pardon and forgive and show mercy and elevate and raise the rank and status of. So Allah said in Surah توبة سورة خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصلي عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم والله سميع عليم. Allah commanded the Prophet ﷺ, take from their money صدقة, accept from them their charity and distribute it, give it to those that are deserving, and this صدقة تطهرهم, it will purify those that gave the صدقة, وتزكيهم بها, it will purify them and be a means of cleansing and increasing. وصلي عليهم, and do salat for them. إن صلاتك سكن لهم. Your salah will be a means of peace and tranquility and comfort, beneficial for them. والله سميع عليم. Allah is the most hearing, the most knowing. So then he says, so my father came to the Prophet ﷺ with some sadaqah. So the Prophet said it to him, Allahumma salli ala ali abi awfa. He's made dua for that man in particular. That's why some of the ulama, they said this phrase, Allahumma salli ala, they said this shows the permissibility of using such phrase for other than Rasulullah ﷺ. Usually, when do we say this phrase? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. When we want to send salutation, is it permissible to make this dua, because it's a dua ultimately, what is it? Is it permissible to make this dua for other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They said yes, based on this, that the Prophet himself did it for someone else, an average believer. Allahumma salli ala ali abi afa, not average of course, sahabi, but I mean not someone who was a prophet or a messenger. Ibn Kathir has a huge discussion about this in his tafsir of Surah Al-Ahzab, and the closest opinion that gathers, because some of the ulama said no, this is an exception and this dua is only for Rasulullah, and some said no, it's permissible for anyone. So some of the ulama came with a balanced approach. They said it's permissible to say it for other than the Prophet ﷺ, other than the anbiya and the rusul, but we should not make it a habit except for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I can say Allahumma salli ala fulan, right? Allahumma salli ala Umar. It's permissible. But I should not do it every single time I mention his name. Every time I see him, Umar, Allahumma salli ala Allah. No. That repetition is something reserved for the Prophet ﷺ. Right? To maintain its sanctity and how special it is. That it's for the Prophet ﷺ. Every time you say his name, you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Do you see the distinction between the two? واضح. وكان يغضب ممن تظهر عليه آثار التكبر. One of the avenues and the doorways of becoming arrogant is because of the wealth that we possess. So whenever the Prophet saw someone who has wealth behaving in an arrogant manner, he used to get really upset. And he would express that. And Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنه قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعرابي عليه جبة من طيالسة مكفوفة بديباج أو مزورة بديباج فقال إن صاحبكم هذا يقصد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يريد أن يرفع كل راع ابن راع ويضع كل فارس ابن فارس فقام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مغضبا فأخذ بمجامع جبته فاجتذبه وقال لا أرى عليك ثياب من لا يعقل ثم رجع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجلس فقال إن نوح عليه السلام لما حضرته الوفاة دعا ابنيه فقال إني قاصر عليكما الوصية آمركما باثنتين وأنهاكما عن اثنتين أنهاكما عن الشرك والكبر وآمركما بلا إله إلا الله فإن السماوات والأرض وما فيهما لو وضعت في كفة الميزان وضعت لا إله إلا الله في الكفة الأخرى كانت أرجح ولو أن السماوات والأرض كانت حلقة فوضعت لا إله إلا الله عليها لفصمتها أو لقصمتها وأمركما بسبحان الله وبحمده فإنها صلاة كل شيء وبها يرزق كل شيء وعن سعيد بن أيمن مولى كعب بن سور قال بينما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحدث أصحابه إذ جاء رجل من الفقراء فجلس إلى جنب رجل من الأغنياء فكأنه قبض من ثيابه عنه. طيب, before we continue with that narration, The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, a man came in, أعرابي. He was from outside of the civilization. And he was wearing a overcoat that had very distinct, not stitching. What is it called when something is on the edge? Embroidery. Jamil. Very specific embroidery and stitching. And he referred to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, this friend of yours, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, he wants to make all of the shepherds, sons of shepherds, he wants to elevate their status. And the ones that were knights, he wants to bring down their status. Meaning, people that are like lowly, he wants them to be at the top of the food chain. And the people that were at the top of the food chain, he's going to bring them down. I mean, he's being very arrogant and critical of the Prophet ﷺ, and like walking in a pompous fashion and manner. So the Prophet ﷺ got up and he grabbed it and he pulled his clothing and he said, I only see you wearing the clothing of the one who doesn't use their intellect. The Prophet ﷺ sat down and he said, Nuh, when Nuh was on his deathbed, he gathered his sons and he said, I'm going to be very concise and abridged in my advice to you. So listen very carefully. I'm going to command you to do two things and forbid you from doing two things. I forbid you from doing shirk and from being arrogant. And I command you with La ilaha illallah. He says, because the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it and between them, if it was placed on one side of the scale and La ilaha illallah was placed on the other side of the scale, La ilaha illallah would be heavier. And he said, and I command you with Subhanallahi wa bihamdih. Exalt Allah. Say Subhanallah, which means Allah is perfect and free from any fault or imperfection. And hamd, praise and gratitude of Allah. He says, because this is salatu kulli shay'. This is the prayer, the comprehensive prayer that encompasses everything. And with it, yurzaqu kullu shay'. And with it will be a means of sustenance for every type of creation. So the Prophet ﷺ used this opportunity as an educational moment when this person was acting arrogant and trying to, you know, flaunt and be critical of the Prophet ﷺ and talk about poor becoming, having a higher status and people that are of status to be lowered. And this is how arrogant people talk. They want to maintain the status quo. Keep the rich rich and keep the poor poor. Also something that angered the Prophet ﷺ from anyone that had wealth is refusing to give zakah. طيب. These narrations require some more time. We don't have that much time. But we'll quickly just mention them, that the Prophet ﷺ was also angered by those that refused to give zakah. That a person has wealth and they refuse to give zakah. Also the Prophet ﷺ, the next point is, he used to seek refuge in Allah from the evil that can come through wealth. The Prophet used to say this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal wal-haram wal-ma'thami wal-maghram wa min fitnati al-qabri wa adhab al-qabr wa min fitnati al-nari wa adhab al-nar wa min sharri fitnati al-ghina wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-faqr wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. Allahumma ghsil anni khatayai bima'i thalji wal barad wa naqqi qalbi min al khatayai kama naqqayta al-thawb al-abyada min al-danas wa ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayai kama ba'idta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Aisha narrates that the Prophet ﷺ used to make this dua. He used to say, Allahumma, O Allah, I seek refuge in you. I ask you to protect me from laziness and from, you know, old age weakness that prevents me from accomplishing and doing. And the Prophet mentioned many different fitan, the fitan of the grave and punishment. And then he said, the fitna of the hellfire and the punishment of the hellfire. Then he said, min sharri fitnatil ghina. And from the evil of the fitna of the trial of wealth. But it's balanced. The Prophet then said, wa min sharri fitnatil faqr. and also from the evil of the fitna of poverty. Some people, poverty is what draws them closer to Allah. Sometimes a person has wealth, they're in a state of heedlessness. Once they lose all of that, they remember Allah. And that is the experience that brings them closer to Allah. Not too long ago, there was a brother. He said, subhanAllah, he was reflecting. He said, I thought I was on top of the world. I had a brand new, very expensive, 6-digit car. An excellent job in a booming industry and company with promotion, family, everything, house, very expensive city. He said, all of that lost. Got a divorce, lost my kids, can't pay my car, lost my house. Everything like this. But subhanAllah, you find them that this was an experience that shook them. They said, man, big time. Some people, faqr is what takes them away from Allah. They lose everything, they say, why should I worship? Why should I give sadaqah? Why me? Why? Because it's the crooked letter. That's why. Some people, wealth, mashallah, faqir, abidun, zahidun, sawwamun, qawwam, Allahu Akbar, mashallah, lakallah khair. They get some wealth, ma'a salama, you don't see them anymore. No more ibadah, no more Islam. What happened? Oh, you know. No, I don't know. So, everyone has a different hal. So we ask Allah to protect us from the evil of both situations. Some people, wealth destroys them. Some people, poverty destroys them. Some people, wealth brings them closer to Allah. MashaAllah. They get wealth, sadaqah, building, foundations, feeding, sponsoring, helping, building, developing, contributing, inspiring others, picking people up. Amazing. MashaAllah. They can do so much. Some people, faqr brings them to Allah. Dua, sadaqah, helping others, working hard, not being lazy anymore. So we ask Allah to protect us from the evil of both situations and to grant us the best of both situations. And finally, the Prophet mentioned that true wealth is the wealth of a person's heart and their contentment. لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Abu Huraira narrates, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, that true wealth in essence is not to amass a lot of things, a lot of money, a lot of currency, a lot of properties, but true wealth is actually when a person's heart is fully content and at peace. I used to know a guy that has so much wealth, and he told me, wallahi, I go to sleep every night with a gun under my pillow. And I can't go to sleep until I take sleeping pills. Too much fear. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You live in a gated community. He said, I'm afraid of losing it. Wallahi, if Allah decrees that you're going to lose it, no gates and no guns are going to change that. But miskin, is that wealth? Is this person wealthy? He can't sleep. Imagine if you couldn't sleep at night. You can't sleep at night? May Allah bless you with sleep at night. Restless sleep. Is it fun? Is it comfortable? How good would it, and nice would it be if a person just lays their head, alhamdulillah, and they just fall asleep. They wake up. Can't even imagine, huh? Bliss. Subhanallah, who would have thought? Falling asleep is one of the greatest ni'mas of Allah. Who would have thunk it? Yes, we just invented that word. Right, subhanallah. Is that ghina? Is that wealth? No. Subhanallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sure to always draw a parallel between increasing in your wealth and increasing in your taqwa of Allah. Make sure the two grow simultaneously. فقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا بأس بالغنى لمن اتقى الله عز وجل والصحة لمن اتقى الله خير من الغنى وطيب النفس من النعيم. The Prophet ﷺ said, no problem with wealth as long as it's paired with awareness of Allah. And no problem with good health and strength when it's paired with taqwa, with awareness of Allah. It reminds me of some couplets. The poet said, مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَىٰ مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَمَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. فهو في عيشة راضية. والمال حلو حسن جيد على الفتى لكنه عارية. ما أجمل الدنيا لكنها مع حسنها غدارة فانية. He said, Allah has not blessed anyone with anything more valuable than afia, protection and pardoning, health and strength and protection from all types of evil, afia. Ask Allah for Allahumma afini. وَمَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. Whoever has afia, whoever is protected in their, just in their body, just you have a good healthy body with no ailments, no pain, no illnesses, you are in the epitome, the magnum opus of a contentful, joyous life. If that's the only thing Allah gives you, forget about afia in your wealth and in all the. If you have a body that has no ailments and no, that is like the epitome. وَمَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. وَالْمَالُ حُلُّ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ. And wealth is sweet and pretty and it's nice and it's comfortable and it makes the young person look good, except it's transparent. It doesn't actually cover or conceal anything. ما أجمل الدنيا. How beautiful dunya is. لكنها مع حسنها غدارة فانية. But along with its beauty, it is deceitful and it is coming to an end. With its beauty, it is deceitful and temporary. اللهم ارزقنا. May Allah bless us with the best. And grant us afia, protection and pardoning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in that which He has given us. May Allah protect us from sharri fitnati al-ghina, from the evil fitna of wealth. May Allah protect us from the evil fitna of poverty. Allahumma ja'alna laka shakkareen. Oh Allah, make us to You continuously grateful. Make us to You continuously obedient. And if we are that, then we are winners. Oh Allah, beautify us and adorn us with the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite us with our beloved messenger in the highest level of Jannah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والله أعلم. السلام عليكم. Any questions? You have a question? Yes. No, you can, but not at the expense of hiding that which is of lesser quality. So lay it all out there. You have something that's good quality, put it. But you also have something of lesser quality, put it up front too. The idea is not to put the good one in front and the lesser one in the back, so that a person ends up thinking, oh, I'm picking up good, and they end up with less than that. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, like when you buy, for example, a box of fruits, and then there's a label on the bottom and on the side. And so you look at it from the top and it's like, oh, these look nice. Strong, vibrant color, nice. Looks good, right? This always happens to me with strawberries. I can never get a good box of strawberries. Because I look at the box, it looks so nice. Right? And then I get home and I open it and I see in the bottom and they're all like mushy on the bottom. So that's trickery and deceit. Make sense? Do you understand? Kind of? Which part does it make sense? So is that what people are going to buy? Okay, fine. The idea is not that a person reaches for something good and they end up getting something, a mixed bag. That's the idea. So if you want to put the good stuff at top, then sell the good stuff. Don't let it be a mixed bag. Oh, it looks good, but actually, you know, and then they realize when they get home, they open the bag and they're like, what? I didn't pick that one out. Then they realize only the one in the front looked nice. And all the ones in the back are not. Make sense? Allah a'lam. You had another question? Yes. When Allah says, "Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi." You know this verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, page before last. Allah and His angels do salat upon the Prophet. O you who believe, do salat and salam upon him. So the salat of Allah is protection and mercy. And the salat of the angels is asking Allah for forgiveness and for protection and for mercy. And our salah upon the Prophet ﷺ is praise and asking Allah to elevate his rank and status and asking Allah for his protection and his mercy. Make sense? You had your hand up? Who had their hand up first?
Abu Dahdah. Different than Abu Darda. Yeah. There is Abu Dahdah and there is Abu Darda. Abu Darda is a different companion. This one was Abu Dahdah. Yes. Jameel. So, afu refers to covering and concealing something and removing anything negative or harmful from it. So, when we are saying Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu, that is comprehensive, but also we are asking it in the aspect of forgiveness. So, afu of the sins. But there is afiya, which shares a similar root letters, which refers to protection from anything harmful. And it carries with it the connotation of pardoning as well. So afiyah is actually a comprehensive term that refers to protection and pardoning. That's why it's one of the best things to make dua for. The Prophet ﷺ told Al-Abbas, his uncle, Ya Abbas, salillah al-afiyah. Salillah al-afiyah. وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. Allah also uses it in the Qur'an, paralleled with, resolving and conflict resolution, to forgive and to bring relationships together. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. So you forgive, you pardon, you forget about the errors of the past. So there is pardoning and protection. Yes. That's part of protection, right?
Ghaffar, maghfira.
So al-mighfar was the armor, right? So it's something that protects you. So maghfirah refers to forgiveness, and it also refers to protection from the consequences of this mistake. Afu refers to the elimination of the athar, or elimination of this ever happened. So something could be on your record, and it could be on your record that it's forgiven. But something could be not on your record at all, removed from the record. If I didn't know, I wouldn't find it on your record at all. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. والله أعلم.